The world needs transformational change, with countries cutting their greenhouse gas emissions much faster than under the Paris Climate Agreement, with the alternative being, quote, wide-ranging and destructive climate impacts. That message came from the United Nations Environment Programme on Tuesday in its Emissions Gap Report.
With a global downturn in car demand, tyre and car parts maker Continental has been having a rough ride and is now to cut 5,040 jobs by 2028 as it pares back its engine component manufacturing. The biggest chunk, nearly 1,400, will go in its home base of Germany, but the US will lose over 700 jobs in Newport News and Italy a similar number in Pisa. It's a relatively small hit to a workforce of 240,000. It is, though, the latest item on a roll call of misery in the industry.
This farm is growing crops using a water source that won't run out. British startup Seawater Solutions is running a pilot project on the west coast of Scotland, preparing farmers for the worst effects of climate change. Solar and wind power are used to flood the field with seawater twice a day to mimic the tide. Growing populations, more farming and a rush of people to cities is increasing pressure on the world's limited fresh water supplies.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Opening Bell. I am WGN-TV's Paul Lisnick. I am in for Steve today on this pre-Thanksgiving show. And we've got a good one for you today. I'm glad you're joining us. My work over at WGN-TV, so you know, is that you see me covering politics on all of our number one rated news shows. And every night at 5:30 p.m. on CLTV, I have a show called Politics Tonight. We're live. We're Monday to Friday. And then hopefully you check out my podcast here on WGN Plus. It's called Behind the Curtain. Gives me a chance to talk about politics, but my other passion as well. We talk about theater and the arts, and it's a little break and kind of interesting to view other things. Well, today we have a good show for you here on this pre-Thanksgiving day. We're going to have the Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation, the weekly conversation where Steve sits down with someone. This week it's Rod Murray. They talk about the future of banking. We'll be sharing that with you. And later in the show, I'm going to be talking with Patrick Reedy. He's the chapter executive for the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois. I know in the last show, I heard Brian Noonan chatting about the Alzheimer's Association with a gaming guy whose company donates money to Alzheimer's. We're going to be talking to one of the executives of the Alzheimer's Association to talk about, you know, I thought we would talk about sort of the medical piece of that and how it goes, and we might. But the thing is, the subject that they brought to my attention, which is the risks to people in business today, to workers out there, and how significant it is that Alzheimer's can hit anybody, including executives, including people running businesses. And I thought, yeah, that's going to be real important to take a look at. So we'll be doing that in the second part of the show. Let's take a look at the markets. Things generally looking up on this pre-Thanksgiving day. Dow futures look up about 28 points. S&P futures up 5.5. NASDAQ futures up just under 24 points. A look over in Europe shows the DAX up about 60 points. The FTSE up just under 34 points. And the CAC up 10.5 points. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up just under 65 points. The Shanghai is down, however, just about 4 points. And the Hang Seng is up about 40 points over there. Hey, it is Thanksgiving, so I got to give you one cranberry story. Plummeting cranberry prices have America's cranberry industry eyeing a possible new savior, solar power. Cranberry farmers in Massachusetts proposing to build solar panel arrays above their bogs. Solar power. Agricultural industry experts say it's a novel approach to blending renewable energy technology with traditional farming that's been researched but not tried before on large-scale commercial crop cultivation, so we will see. We're going to turn now to the weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation. Our Steve Grzanich sat down with Rod Murray, and they discussed the future of banking, why Google is interested in the industry, and a lot more.
Rod, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Good to see you.
We want to have a conversation this morning and maybe look a little bit into the future based on a story that I pulled. This was a discussion over the last week or so on a vision of what banks might look like in the 2030s, like around 2030. And that the idea is that the brick and mortar bank might be gone altogether, and we will all do the banking in the palms of our hands.
Well, I think that the palm of your hand is a good term, and that is where the banking and the financial services side is going more and more. I don't know that brick and mortar will be completely gone by 2030, so we're 10-plus years away here. Now, is it going to look a lot different, though? Absolutely, on what a brick and mortar branch is going to look like, feel like, and services provided.
Yeah, and the idea, too, is it's not just banking that all of the things that you need to do in the financial sector will be available on that. I know that's right now some companies, I think, do that, but it's really sort of a mismatch of this app does that, that app does that. The idea that it might be one-stop shopping, we're already headed there, aren't we?
Yeah, the one-stop shopping is what the generations want right now. It's even what, you know, all of us as consumers, we like the idea of a one-stop shop, unless you're going to have some specialty vertical service that is for a convenience factor. But otherwise, the idea of a single-source app is really popular right now, and it is getting a lot of traction.
The demographics on this are what? I know anecdotally we've talked about younger generations pushing this, but are they the ones in the driver's seat on this?
They are. It will be certainly the you know, Generation Z, and then the tail end of the millennials, the younger millennials right now. It's hard to move banks or banking institutions for a lot of us. Think how hard it is, what a pain it is to move where you're doing your financial services, especially your checking and savings. But as generations come up and they're opening new accounts, yeah, that's certainly, I think, where the acquisition will be.
I know you think that the bank branches will continue to be around, but I'm betting that they'll probably look a little bit different. They're already starting to look different.
They are. I mean, we've even at Associated, we've been doing that for some time now on smaller footprint, you know, less square footage. You know, you don't need some gigantic box on the best corner anymore. And you do it that it's more of a unibanker approach. And certainly there's still technology services even within that branch that people can come and have an interactive, you know, what I call ATM experience or interactive technology experience if they don't want to talk to a live person.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point there, the live person part of this. This story that was part of this futuristic dive into what banking looks like talks about AI, that perhaps there may be no humans at all in these bank branches, that it will all be an immersive technology experience.
Yes, that's interesting. You know, on reading that article, they're calling it machine learning and, you know, robots essentially taking over. Now, you know, there's less traction on that for the 2030 timeframe, but in the future, could there be an aspect of that? Yeah, probably, absolutely.
Well, the topic that we're on today is sort of disruption in the banking, and I'm going to continue that with a couple of other things that I found here. Google getting into checking accounts. We've already seen Apple try its foray into banking a little bit. How would Google, an involvement in Google, shake up the banking industry?
Yeah, it's getting all of the press right now because they're such a gigantic player. And while the announcement has come out that it's happening, there are really no details behind it. So it'll be interesting to watch. But what they're doing is they're partnering with two institutions, Citi and then I believe it's Stanford Credit Union, and looking to roll out a checking account. Now, the details haven't come all out. There's a lot of speculation. Boy, you know, the pros, the cons, you know, the questions on it. But it is something that's really an interesting take. And there's, again, for the future, what will this look like?
Mm-hmm. If the future is just a couple of big companies like Amazon and Google having all of our information, I don't know how comfortable I feel with that.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, what a lot of the people talk about in these articles and the experts is what kind of a play is it for Google versus what kind of a play is it for the financial institutions who are partnering with it, and the comfortability for data and data mining. What an outstanding way to get everything and everything that you want. Now, again, where we are in our generation, Steve, we're less likely to do it. As you kind of go down, folks are more open to giving up all their personal information. So that's where the regulation side of things comes in then.
And I keep thinking, you know, in 10 years, if 2030 is the date we're talking about, I'll be 60 then. Am I just going to be forced to do this as an older person? And will I be yelling at the young people from my front lawn?
I think that you won't be forced to do it, but it will be harder to if you don't have some kind of a vehicle that's tech driven on how you're doing your financial services banking payments. Then you're going to have a harder time making payment transactions.
One of the sidebar stories to all of this discussion is the problems that some of these big tech companies are having getting into banking. I know the Libra, I think that's the Facebook Libra, has sort of hit a couple of snags. Facebook Pay has also hit a couple of snags. The idea, again, what's holding them up? What's the thing here? Is it just what we've talked about, and that is uncomfortableness?
Yes, and on what is that happening with that data? What are they doing with it? Misuse of the data is something that can work against them. And even what we're talking about Google, I mean, even if that doesn't work, it's what a great experience they'll have on how, from a launch standpoint. Let's go back to, we've talked about on the show before, Walmart. Mm-hmm. Walmart tried to get into it back before, and that, they finally gave up on that in 2007, right before the crash. So there's been a long history of it, and the troubles that people have are either the data mining or the data use, I should say. And then the second piece is the regulations, which we talk about all the time. Are they really set up to do it? And as working for a regulated institution, I can tell you that is something that without a platform will be really hard to afford and handle unless you're going to hire an army of people. And then the final thing is, where's the customer service model come in? Try to call customer service for Google, you can't.
Right.
So, it's all AI, it's all technology chats. So those are the three pieces where financial institutions might still come in.
Although the banking industry is opposed to some of this, and you've shared some very serious concerns, it's not like you want to stop it altogether, do you?
No, I mean, competition is good. Mm-hmm. We all remember that, and I believe that personally. So competition is a great thing to have banks sharpen their pencils, certainly be more innovative. If you sit on the sidelines, you're going to be left in the dust. So you can't do that. Competition will be there. And if you aren't investing in the technology, then you're eventually going to get swallowed up.
I saw one of the terms used to describe how things might shape out is we'll have super apps that can do just about everything, not only the banking part of it that we've talked about, but these big tech firms will, it'll just be everything. It'll be email, search, banking, health records, all in one giant Google app.
Right. And that comes back to this whole platform organization standpoint, that the super app, think of Uber, right? I mean, Uber started as the ride sharing, and look at all of the things that they're potentially branching into, that once you have that platform and can distribute advertising, marketing, food, all of that becomes this huge platform for you to go out and have a super app.
Well, Rod, as we are at the end of the year here, I want to get your thoughts on not only what you feel like has been the biggest thing this year in your industry, but also just give us a sense of where you think we're at from an economic standpoint and where we might be headed next year.
Yeah, the biggest thing that's been so for us in the industry this year was just the change of the interest rates. We were on a rising interest rate curve, and it quickly built into not only when we're not rising, we were decreasing. Mm-hmm. So that certainly is something that banks and financial and institutions had to react to, and caused a little bit of pivoting and disruption. So that's looking back, the biggest challenge that it's had. As we look forward, I think into 2020, there's a lot of things that are pivotal. What happens with the China trade agreement? What happens with what we see on the TVs right now with the impeachment hearings? What happens with the presidential election? And then what will happen in our industry specifically? What will happen on the rate side of things? Are we going to hold steady? Are we going to increase here, or where are we happening there?
The good thing, one of the good pieces of information, I know it's rare that you hear me bring out the good part of something, it feels like we're not headed now to a recession. I know there had been a lot of talk about that perhaps we might see one of those. Mm-hmm. I've seen less talk about that.
Right. There's now more of, there might be a slowdown is used instead of recession, and that still could happen, but I'm I was never really thinking that, you know, the big R word would come, mm-hmm. But there's fewer and fewer people calling for it, short of some kind of a major event that, you know, would be a catastrophe for us.
Well, Rod, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure thing. They can call at 312-544-4515, or my email is rodney.murray@associatedbank.com.
Rod, it's always good chatting with you. As Thanksgiving arrives, we are very thankful that you're here with us here on The Opening Bell.
Right. Thanks very much for having me, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
All right. Interesting conversation. You were listening to the weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation. That was The Opening Bell's Steve Grzanich, and he was joined by Rod Murray, the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning again. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. I'm not Steve Grzanich. I'm sitting in for him. I'm WGN TV's Paul Lisnick. You see me on all the number one news shows over there, covering politics on a daily basis, and every night at 5:30 on CLTV, my live show called Politics Tonight, covering all that's happening internationally, nationally, and locally. And I hope you check out my podcast at WGN Plus, one of the great podcasts that if you go to WGNradio.com and click on WGN Plus and click Entertainment, there it'll be. It's called Behind the Curtain, and gives me a chance not just to talk politics and talk to some great authors, but also to talk about theater and the arts, which are so important to me and so important to our city. Coming up in this half of The Opening Bell, we're going to talk about Alzheimer's and the impact it can have on the family. It's a personal thing for me. I lost my mom to Alzheimer's last year after a long battle. And you know, you see if you know somebody in your family or somebody in a friend's family who is suffering from that horrendous disease, it is a slow walk. It is a very slow betrayal. It's often said that you lose your loved one twice. Once when you lose them to Alzheimer's and just the fact that they don't recognize much around them. And secondly, of course, when they pass on. So I wanted to share some information about that and the important work of the Alzheimer's Association. We're going to do that with Patrick Reedy. He's the chapter executive of the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois. Just a couple of statistics to let you know. First of all, if you have a brain, then you're at risk for developing Alzheimer's disease. I mean, it's that simple. We're living longer. We're taking care of ourselves more, but Alzheimer's doesn't know that barrier. There are more than 5 million people in the country who have Alzheimer's disease, and more than 47 million people living with that disease worldwide. It's interesting, but it kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. So we need to talk about it. We need to understand it. And hey, listen, I hope you are not dealing with it in your family at all. I didn't think I would either. But if you are, or if you do, then get some information, because understanding the role of caregivers and the importance of family members, you know, 83% of home care is provided by family members. That's what we're going to help you understand as time goes on, should this disease come into your life. Let's check the market. Things generally looking up for today. The Dow futures up 16 points. S&P futures looking to be up about 4.25. NASDAQ futures up 21.5. Popping over to Europe, the DAX is up just under 37.5 points. The FTSE up just over 30 points. And the CAC up just a bit. It's still up, but just down a little bit to just under 2 points. And over in Asia, the Nikkei is up just about 64.5 points. The Shanghai, however, is down just under 4 points, and the Hang Seng is up just over 40 points. So we'll keep an eye on the market for you. I wanted to have another little holiday theme story here as we get ready for this next interview. And cashless shoppers, they have a new option to give to the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign this year using their smartphone. Yeah, leaders hope that adding Apple and Google payment options will help in reaching the campaign's $150 million goal. The Red Kettle campaign typically makes up 10% of the Salvation Army's annual budget. Donations fund programs providing housing and food and other support to people in poverty. Donors tap their phones to a tag on a sign near the kettle. Talk about technology, huh? It opens a donation form that suggests giving $5, $10, or $25. Donors also can type in a different amount. People whose phones aren't compatible with contactless payment systems can use their camera to photograph a QR code opening a donation form. Donations go to the Salvation Army chapter in the donor's billing zip code. Wow. Technology has come a long way. President Trump persists in the story that he opened an Apple manufacturing plant last week. It's not true. He's looking back at his November 20th trip to Austin. He said, "I opened up an Apple computer plant at a Florida rally on Tuesday." The facts, he didn't do that. He visited an Austin factory that's been making the Mac Pro for Apple since 2013. He made the same claim in a tweet the day of his visit. Today, he said, "I opened a major Apple manufacturing plant in Texas that will bring high-paying jobs back to America." Apple announced in September it would continue having the Mac Pro line made in Austin after the Trump administration agreed to waive tariffs on certain computer parts from China. It said on the day of his trip that it started construction of its new campus in the city. Reminding you that 230,000 people are living with Alzheimer's disease in Illinois. And again, with my family's personal struggle, having lost my mom to it last year, my guess is that somebody in your family has or will have Alzheimer's. Somebody you know will or does have it. And so we want to arm you with some information that will help you as you move forward in this struggle. Joining me is Patrick Reedy. He's the chapter executive of the Alzheimer's Associations of Illinois. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Paul. How are you today?
Well, I'm good. But now dedicated to really doing what I can to help eradicate this horrendous disease, having lived through it with my own mom. And I'm amazed that of all the diseases around, this being the sixth highest cause of death in America, it's got no prevention, no treatment or cure, but it seems to be getting worse. Is that because we're living longer?
Yeah, Paul, it does have to. Well, first of all, I'm sorry for your family's experience, and thanks for this opportunity to help get the word out to others who are experiencing the same challenges. And yes, it does have to do with aging population and also longer lifespan. And so it's a big mission, part of our mission and part of one of the key pillars of what we do to raise awareness for how big of a challenge and an issue this is and how many families it affects.
You know, one of the things when this is hitting you, you listen, some people, they have a heart attack, they have a stroke, something, and you deal with it for maybe a short period of time. Alzheimer's goes on for years. Talk about the struggle, the financial struggle, the emotional struggle when it comes to providing what many of us try to do, which is home care. Because, you know, it's, we don't want to take our loved ones and send them off somewhere unless we have to, unless something happens and they have to go to a memory center, for example. But so many try to do it at home. It's not easy.
Right. It's a great point. And, you know, this disease affects families differently in just about every case. And that's both from the financial burden, but also the emotional burden that it brings along. So a big part of what we do is try to provide resources through the Alzheimer's Association to help families navigate that. As I mentioned, that journey is different for each individual. And so a lot of the advice we can give to people is try to get that diagnosis as early as possible. And as soon as they receive that diagnosis, there are resources that can help. We want families to know they're not in this alone. And they can find resources not only to navigate those financial challenges, but also to educate themselves about the options that they have, as you mentioned, to provide the best care for their loved one, and also one that fits for their family's particular situation.
Yeah, I know one of the things that my parents were very smart about, they got a long-term care policy. They did that before I even kind of knew they existed. Now I have one as well. And that's really important when home care comes to the point that you need that assistance, because that's a financial help. I know there are others. I want you to talk about the work of the Alzheimer's Association. I know you're the leading health organization when it comes to research, care, support. Talk about what you guys do.
Sure. So as you mentioned earlier, there are about 230,000 individuals in Illinois living with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias. And so we know that that works out to about 580,000 or more individuals who are providing that care. And so we exist really to serve both of those populations, those living with the disease and those caring for those individuals. And so that really provides us with our vision of a world without Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, ultimately. And we do that really in two ways. One is through providing some of the care and support that I talked about earlier. But also, ultimately, you know, we know that we need to eradicate this disease, and that's going to happen through funding research. And that's something we're very proud of. We're the largest nonprofit, non-governmental funder of research, behind only the U.S. and Chinese governments in terms of funding that critical research that's going to provide those breakthroughs over time to help cure this disease.
You know, I knew this is the conversation we would have, but I have to tell you, when I was having a conversation with Nancy Rainwater, one of the other executives over at the Illinois chapter, she said to me, well, since you, this is a business show that you're hosting, she said, maybe people would like to know something about the fact that this impacts businesses, business executives. It kind of goes to that point that anybody with a brain can contract this, but can you shed a little light about the fact that, you know, just because you're a CEO, from a CEO down to the, you know, the daily worker in a company, man, you are not immune from this.
No, not at all. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have quite a few great support from the corporate community here in the state of Illinois, because I think people understand that not only is this a family disease, but really it affects our economy in a major way. You know, as you mentioned, it's the sixth leading cause of death, and, you know, costs literally billions of dollars a year for our country to care for. But also on the individual and company level, we know that 6 in 10 of those caregivers are mentioned earlier. So 6 in 10 of that more than 500,000 individuals in Illinois are employed. And so we know those individuals work an average of about 35 hours per week. And you know, because you and your family lived through this, it's a challenging disease and tough to do both, provide that care to your loved one, hold down that job. And also we know that about a quarter of those folks are in the sandwich generation. So they have young kids. So these can be really challenging situations, and that's why we provide educational opportunities to companies to make sure that their employees know that they're not in this alone, what options they have, and, you know, some of the other things that we mentioned earlier that can help folks navigate while we're searching for that cure.
You make such an important point about the notion of if we are providing care, if we can't afford to have a living caregiver or whatever, but we're doing it, family members. But you're talking about people who have to go in late to work. They've got to leave early. They've got to take time off. Do you find that corporations are more open to that today, more supportive?
Yeah, well, great question. I would say, like anything else, I think it varies. You know, but I do think the most important thing you can do in a situation, whether that's you've got a company that's very understanding or whether you're facing challenges, is arm yourself with information. You know, I think knowledge is power here, and the more you can help your employee understand what the challenges are and what some of those issues are, the better off you'll be. And I hope you don't mind if I use this opportunity to plug our helpline. I'm not sure if you and your family had an opportunity to use this, but people can reach out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to our helpline at 800-272-3900. They can also find that information on our website, alz.org. But that gives them an opportunity any time of day or night. You know, we're going into the Thanksgiving holiday. A lot of people are going to be spending time with their loved ones and may encounter some concerns that they have about brain health or about potential dementia, can reach out and get some of that information. And that can be a resource to them throughout their journey as they try to better understand, you know, diagnosis through all the other challenges that may lie ahead. And the more they know, I think the better they can navigate that challenge with their employer in terms of balancing, you know, homework and now this new challenge of caring for a loved one.
So that helpline, again, I'm going to repeat it, 800-272-3900. If somebody calls in, I imagine they can call in because they're first suspecting that a family member has it, all the way down the line to having questions. So what are the resources available to that person who's going to answer that phone on the helpline? How equipped are they? Are they going to send us to the proper resources, or do they often have many of the answers?
Sure. We get any number of calls through that helpline, and we encourage them all. You know, if you have any questions about Alzheimer's disease or dementia or the options that you have, or even what that means. A lot of people, you know, may not even know what some of those terms are, and they can certainly reach out. And what they'll do is they'll be first put in touch with somebody who can get them to the right place. They may have a question about resources through our chapter, in which case they'll get put in touch with us. But we also have master's-trained social workers that are available 24/7. So in the case where that question requires that expertise, if they can get that answer right away and understand what some of those challenges. As you imagine, people call us at their time of greatest need. And so we feel we have an obligation and an opportunity to be there for them to help them navigate through that.
You know, I have to tell you, Facebook provides people an opportunity on their birthdays to raise money for a charity. So I did it this last couple of years for Alzheimer's. You know, I figured, I set a goal of $200. I thought maybe some people would come through. Was so amazed to see the warmth of people who sent the donations to almost $3,000 just from Facebook giving. I give to Alzheimer's myself, of course, as everybody should, whether you experience it or your family will. But I know the Illinois chapter, you guys cover an 87-county area. You've got offices, Chicago, Joliet, Rockford, all throughout the state. But sometimes I get a request for support from the National Alzheimer's Association. Here's an unfair question. But if we live here, are we better to give to the Illinois Association or nationally, or does it not matter?
Well, the good news is it's an easy question. It's one entity. So since 2016, the Alzheimer's Association has unified under one entity. And so all of those resources, all that support goes to one place. And that's to the Alzheimer's Association to support that care and support on a daily basis, and also to drive that research to fund that research to ultimately deliver a cure. So it doesn't matter. We appreciate the support either way, and I'm really glad you asked the question.
You, of course, have events throughout the year. I'm looking forward to emceeing an event here in Chicago. It'll be a luncheon downtown on April 22nd. The great fashion designer Mark Roscoe, I know you know probably, is creating a video with a song written especially for that event by Opal Staples of the Staples Singers. It's going to be an amazing event. There's one in Oak Brook. But events all through the year. Can people go to ALZ.org and see what's coming up so they can help?
Yes, thank you. First of all, thanks for your personal involvement. We're really looking forward to having your involvement with the Reason to Hope event that you just mentioned coming up this spring. And we just finished a very successful walk to end Alzheimer's season with 25 walks throughout the state. And many of your colleagues were involved, and we appreciate that support as well. And yes, and by the way, the walk fundraising is continuing through December 31st. We know that with Thanksgiving and Giving Tuesday coming up, many, many folks will choose to continue to support that effort, which has already raised more than $4 million here in Illinois. And yes, ALZ.org, that same source that individuals can go to for help, is also a great way to find out how they can help support this work.
All right. And the helpline again, 800-272-3900. Yes, Giving Tuesday on Tuesday, a great day to help. Patrick Reedy, chapter executive for the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois. Thank you, my friend. Have a blessed holiday season.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, November 27th, 2019. Plenty of economic reports to squeeze in today before the Thanksgiving holiday. Chicago PMI out this morning at 9:45. Revised third quarter GDP data out later today as well, while we look for earnings from Deere & Company, Daktronics Incorporated, Highway Holdings Limited, among others. Just a reminder, U.S. markets closed all day Thursday, close early on Friday. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, November 27th.